Let's begin with a word of prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come and open up our hearts and our minds so we might prepare for your amazing coming. In your name we pray. Amen. We were there. Nativity Story is a very, very interesting little book by Eve Bunting. She tells a new spin on the Easter, whoops, on the Christmas, what time is it? On the Christmas story. And it begins by talking about a long winter night, and there were nothing but animals with Mary to watch the birth of the Christ child being placed in the manger. And she does put in the fact that there were, you know, the lambs and the cows and the donkeys. But what's interesting is she adds smaller animals as well. It's the twist in the story that really is meant for us to open up our eyes. She includes in that group a slithering snake, a warty toad, a scary scorpion, a shiny cockroach, a swooping bat, a hairy spider, and a furry rat. Now, it does end, again, with those wonderful little fuzzy lambs and donkeys and gentle cows. It does have that traditional story, but by adding all those different type of creatures, the snake and the toad and the scorpion, etc., we see that birth of the Christ child is for everyone, is for all people. And as Clint Eastwood would say, well, for the good and the bad and the ugly. And what she means by that is that Christ comes for all of us, not just a select few. So our readings this morning, the Isaiah text and the Gospel text, are also meant to do what Bunting says in her book. It's meant to shake us up a little bit. It's meant to move us out of our comfort zone because God is creating and doing something new, and he wants us to open our eyes. Now, the first is the book of Isaiah. And it also talks about another group of animals that, well, frankly, they're doing a bunch of crazy things. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion will feed together. And a little child will lead them. What he does for us is to give us a picture, a powerful picture of peace. He says that when the Messiah comes, the Messiah is going to turn that world upside down. He's going to change the very nature of our world. And this morning, Isaiah calls us to wake up, to pay attention for a powerful thing that God is doing. Now, the second lesson, the Gospel text, features John the Baptist. And as Jim was saying in the children's sermon, he was different. Very different. And in the same way, he's meant to open up our eyes to see something new. Now, first of all, John's location. He didn't wear a nice suit, and he didn't stand at the steps of the temple to preach his message. Now, he was out in the wilderness, out with all the animals. And the next, again, is what he dressed like. The camel hair clothes and the leather belt around his waist and then the eating of the locust and the honey. The next thing that is shocking about John is that he's calling the Jews out in the wilderness to be baptized in the River Jordan. See, Jews were baptized only when they were converted. When someone became a Jew, they were baptized. And so this very notion of them coming out and being baptized again was very radical. And then finally, his attack on the false piety of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. No one would do that, but yet he calls them a brood of snakes, of vipers. All of that, all of what John was doing was meant to get the attention of Jerusalem, get the attention of everybody who was around, make each person stand up and take notice, to shock them. Because God was going to do something wonderful. God was going to do something amazing, something that's going to turn the world upside down. And John's way to prepare the people was through a process of repentance. Now, repentance is one of those words that you hear a lot about in the church. But do we really know what it means? Well, literally, it means turning around, turning away from, our focus from one thing, and for John's purpose and our purposes, repentance is turning our vision away from sin and our failures and turning back to God to see the loving face of God. He shocked the people in doing that. He calls us to do that. But his call for repentance was much deeper, far deeper than we might even think or what we might even understand. He calls us not to repent because we're afraid of the judgment of God, but we repent out of a true sadness, a true sorrow for our faults and our mistakes. And that repentance calls us to have a change of heart, to move and face in a different direction. W.M. Taylor said, "True repentance hates sin and not merely the penalty. It hates sin most of all because it has discovered and it has felt God's love." We hear the message of John the Baptist and we wonder how well we do that. So how often do you hear that word for repentance? And how often does that word truly shake us up? How much do we connect those words with our own life? How much of it does it convict us for sinful? Because you see, the hardest part for repentance for you and I is the call. The call to look deep within ourselves, to be truly honest with ourselves and what we see. It means looking and being honest. C.S. Lewis said that the insight, the dilemma for repentance, particularly this time of the year, he says that the temptation is to fail to see the need in our lives for the coming of Jesus. The temptation is to be so busy with so many activities that we don't make room for repentance. We don't have the time to prepare. That's one of the problems of the season, isn't it? We run around, we do so many things, we have so many different activities that we begin to forget what this is all about. And finally, he says, maybe the greatest temptation of all is thinking that we really don't need Jesus in our life. See, the purpose and the reason for Advent and its power is to remember how important that is to prepare for Christ's coming. That preparation is followed by a powerful part of God. And Elise Wiesel said, when God created human beings, God gave them a secret. A secret. And that secret is not how to begin, but how to begin again. To begin is not ours. It is God's only loan to do that. But to be given a chance to be given again, begin again, is the grace of God. And that's what forgiveness is all about. That's what repentance and forgiveness is about. It's God's little secret for you and me, that forgiveness brought to us through the death and the resurrection of Christ is the gift of God that allows us to begin again. Advent is a time for us to wake up, to shake up our lives for that need of forgiveness. It is that new beginning that God offers us in the birth of Jesus. It is a real need for you and I. It is that gift of a new beginning and a true blessing. So let us prepare our hearts and our minds for receiving the greatest gift of all. In His name, Amen.